So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast. And good morning, everybody. It's Dan Latto speaking. Hope you're well today. So in today's podcast, we're going to talk about search engine optimization. So for those of you that don't know, SEO, search engine optimization, is basically the thing that helps you get up the rankings on Google. Now, going back a number of years, my lettings agency actually used to rank incredibly well for anything to do with lettings in Leeds and that kind of thing. And I actually learned all my SEO skills, and we have people that actually do it for us now anyway. But you have to lead from the front, so you have to know what you're talking about. So going back a number of years, about 15 years, maybe 12 to 15 years, we owned a lettings agency, and at that time, we actually drove about 35,000 visitors a month at its peak. Like, that's a significant amount of traffic every single month. Imagine 1,000 people running through your shop every day. You'd do very well. And the business did do very well. We doubled revenues every year for 5 years straight, and something we're very proud of. But one of the reasons why we did that is because of work that we did on the website, on the SEO. Now, if you look at the website, going back all those years ago, obviously, 2003 to 2005, something like that. Like, the websites were vastly different than they are today. Not all singing, all dancing, a lot of text, a lot of copy, but also very, very successful. And so some of the stuff that we learned from that is still relevant today. And then there's new stuff that's come through that's more relevant than the old stuff. And it's a continuing thing, continually changes. Now, a couple of caveats here. If you're trying to get a website that you've just bought to the top of Google, it's not the easiest thing to do. Like, I don't care what market you're in. All markets are competitive. We have somebody last week saying, oh, you don't understand, Dan. My market's really competitive. All markets are competitive. If you get me an uncompetitive market, let me know what it is, because we're straight in there, because we can dominate that market. But there is no uncompetitive markets. We're all very competitive. And so are you going to get page one, rank one, in the first couple of weeks? No. Were you going to get in the first couple of months? Probably not. Is it going to take you a year or two to even get on the first page? Possibly. Have we created websites that have gotten to the first page before then? Absolutely. But it really depends on the specificity of the keywords, the industry that you're in, the level of competition, and also whether you're going for more general SEO or very specific SEO. Let me give you an example. Let's say that this is a frozen mug. So what happens is it's got liquid in it, and you put it in the freezer, and then whatever you put inside of it, I've got a little bit of Diet Coke in here, which I know it's too early to be drinking Coke, but it's just to keep my throat nice and fresh, I suppose. Anyway, you put this cup into the freezer, and then you leave it overnight, and whatever liquid you put inside of it, it freezes, keeps your drink cold. It's really cool. So let's say that that's what you sell. I don't know what it would be called. Frozen drinking cup. So that's a key word, frozen drinking cup. Now, if you've got a website called Frozen Drinking Cup, and all it talks about is frozen drinking cups, there's a good chance, actually, that you're probably going to rank higher than Amazon, even. Even though Amazon have that as a subset, and sure, some things might rank as that. You might have Alibaba ranking, you'll have other things ranking as well. But because you're so very specific on that individual product, and actually, we do recommend one website per product. We love that as an idea. I've got some websites that are simply one website per product as well. And we do very well. One of them ranks number one for a very competitive keyword, and it was a website that we created maybe 2 years ago, around pandemic. I'm not going to say what it is, because that will just invite people to come and try and knock us off number one. And so we don't want to do that. But there's a couple of things that we do when we take on either a client's website or when we create our own websites. And by the way, we create a lot of our own websites. We have very specific websites for very specific sales purposes. It's almost down to one product per website, or it can be. And I'm not saying that you have to do that, because there's a conversation around, do you drive all traffic to the main website, or do you have satellite websites? And I believe a balance on the two, to be perfectly honest, with a more of a weighting towards the one main website. So we might spend 70% of our time just driving traffic to the main website, and maybe 30%, probably less actually, 20% down to the other websites as well. But they still have a purpose. So anyway, one of the very first signals that you want to be looking at is something called a social signal. Now, a social signal is really easy, because all it is when you post out on Facebook and you say, hey, we sell these mugs, the frozen mugs, you put them in the freezer, you take them out the next morning, keeps your drink really cold for the next few hours, really cool. When somebody clicks that link and goes to your website, that right there is a social signal. Google is looking at that and goes, oh, look, someone's clicked a link from Facebook, even though it might be what's called a no-follow link, which means that the Google robot shouldn't follow it. It still does. It records it, okay? It looks to see what has follow tags and no-follow tags, but it still records it. But it sees that it's going through from Google back to your website to a very specific page. That right there, my friends, is called a social signal. And increasingly, social signals are more important, because if it's out on social media and people are clicking that link, then going back to the website, Google is keeping an eye on that, and you get extra ranking points, shall we say, if that's what you're sending. Now, this is one of the reasons why you should be putting out more content. The more content you put out, the more social signals you get, the increase on the rankings you get, the more website traffic you get, which is also another thing that Google is looking at, how many people actually visit the website. If nobody's visiting it, it'll rank it lower. If people are visiting it, it'll rank it higher. So the more you do, the more you get. And the more you get, the more you do. And so it's this kind of vicious circle. But we've seen websites that we've created, okay? And so, you know, someone signs us up to create the website. We've created the website, and then they've done nothing to it. They've not done content. They've not done any backlinking. They've done nothing at all, okay? And we look at the traffic. There's hardly any traffic going to it. It's like, dude, it's like buying a Ferrari and not affording the petrol. It's like you got to fuel the website. Just having a website, build it and they will come. It doesn't work. It's never worked. It's since the 90s and that film with Kevin Costner, the baseball film, Build It and They Will Come. It's a fallacy. No, build it and nobody comes, right? No one's interested. I built a website and, oh, no one's visiting it. Yeah, well, have you sent traffic? No. Well, I've got this Ferrari, but I don't put petrol in it and it doesn't go. I don't understand why. I can't quite grasp why. Well, that's why. It's fairly obvious. You've got to be driving traffic back to your website. And one of the things that Google is looking at is social signals. Now, one of the other things that Google is looking at is what we call on-page SEO. And really, there's two aspects of on-page SEO. The first one is what we would call a health score. And so when we create a website, we're constantly looking at what the health score is. And when we take on a search engine optimization client, we're looking at what their health score is. We run it through a bit of software called Ahrefs, Ahrefs.com, Ahrefs.com. It's a billable bit of software that we use in-house. Really useful if you want to run your own SEO campaigns. Quite expensive, I guess. But useful all the same. But obviously there's a learning curve. As with anything, SEO can be quite technical. It's both an art form and a science all rolled into one, which is, you know, very oxymoronic, I guess is the word. Anyway, health score. If you've got a low health score, it means you've got technical problems with your website. And Google's looking at your website and going, well, that doesn't work, that doesn't work, that doesn't work, and it ranks you lower. Same everything, except your technical stuff doesn't work compared with somebody else's, it will rank you lower. So that's one of the first things that we do, is increase the health score. The second thing that we do is we actually look at what's going on. What are the key words? What are the key phrases? How does that look in your sitemap? Like, how many pages are trying to vie for that particular keyword? How many pages have you got? What's the contextual makeup of each individual page? How many keywords on that page? How many alt tags in the images? This is all good on-page SEO. And most SEO companies, they'll either just focus on the on-page SEO, like, you know, keyword stuffing and stuff like that, but we don't recommend. But we do a little bit of it ourselves. You just got to be careful with it. That's all. If you know what you're doing, it's fine. So you do on-page SEO. Or most businesses will just try and build backlinks, and that's it. That's all they do. And they're missing out on a couple of extra things, like the health score, like fixing the technical problems. That's definitely one of the things that we do. But the on-page SEO are things like, what are the keywords? what's pages are vying for the top keyword and what's the contextual makeup of those individual pages. And so we start from the top down, we narrow it down, and then we narrow it down even further into individual pages, and then that's where we actually go out and do some of the on-page SEO. And some websites are actually really close. They've just got a couple of things that are missing. They've got H1 tags instead of H2 tags, for example, and they're all H2 tags instead of H3 and H4. And so, you know, there's a particular order in which it's supposed to go on the website. And so some websites are actually really close to it. They're just not quite there yet, and we can step in and just change a couple of things. Or sometimes, as we find, most websites are so far away from being anywhere near SEO'd, it's like, you know, there's a lot of work to do. One of the next factors that's really important is site speed. Now, we don't really talk a lot about site speed, and it's kind of something that you can't really control to some extent. If you've got a lot of plugins, you know, we've used the Revolut Slider plugin, which is an amazing looking plugin, but boy, it really slows your website down. But from a user experience point of view, site speed really doesn't come into it. Unless you're in the part of Leeds where I used to live in LS16, where you used to get 3 megabyte download speeds on your Wi-Fi. Thank you, British Telecom. Blaming Openreach. It's the same company. What are you blaming the same company for? But that's the speeds that we got. But most people haven't got that. Most people have got 50, 60, 70, 120 meg, super fast. I mean, I live in Spain, and Spain's not exactly renowned for super fast broadband, and even where we live, we're like 140 meg as a download. So we don't really suffer with that from a user experience, but we do suffer from that from a Google experience, if you like. Because there's two people that you're writing content for, and I don't think most people understand this. The first person that you're writing content for is a human being, hopefully like you or I, and a second person you're writing content for is a Google robot. And what Google is looking at is the site speed on your website. And so when we create websites for our clients, we actually put them on our dedicated server. It is not a shared server with 400 other websites. It's our own dedicated server. And every time we take on a lot of new websites, we increase the capacity of that server. So it's constantly working as fast as possible. And we also use some very quick themes that we use on WordPress. We're a WordPress designing outfit, really. We don't use anything else. And if a client wants us to use something else, we simply won't. But the themes that we use on our WordPress websites are super fast, very thin, works very well. Finally, let's talk about off-page SEO and backlinks. And again, there's two types of off-page SEO. The first one, as we've talked about right at the top, is social signals. You've got to be posting out onto social media. Google looks at your link from Facebook back to your website. Someone clicks it, you get a little tick, you get points, and points make prizes, as we know. So that's the first type of off-page SEO and backlinks. And the second one is just actual backlinks. How do you get backlinks? It is time consuming. It is hard work. First of all, you can get some easy wins. You can upload to directories, UK classified type directories, Yell, and other type of directories. You can do other things, like I was just doing one yesterday on Thinkific. We make sure we put links in our Thinkific landing pages, because that gets us a high score going back to our website. It's a nice little inbound link. There's guest posting. You could write content for other people. In fact, I just did an interview last week. I'm on a magazine cover for Leeds Business Network, whatever it's called, which is nice. And that will then go online, and then we'll get a link back to the website, which again will be a high quality. It's called a high DR, high domain rating score, pointing back to the website, and that will work very well. But actually getting backlinks is hard. And, you know, people go, oh, well, you shouldn't pay for links. And I agree, you shouldn't pay for links. But the same people also say that you shouldn't guest post, because Google knows that you're guest posting and it puts you down. It's like, so what? Like, what are you supposed to do? Not get backlinks? You're supposed to get backlinks. The more backlinks you have that are of good quality, that's a really important aspect. You can't just go out and buy 5,000 backlinks. We're not in the 90s anymore, folks. Boy, they were the days. You just buy 10,000 backlinks, point them to your website, and off you go. You could even cheat using SE Nuke to just post lots on website directories. Google knows what you're doing. But blog posting or guest posting on other people's blogs, I should say, is absolutely a really good way of getting more backlinks, as long as they are relevant. But how do you get them? You've got to do an awful lot of outreach, and it can be quite difficult to do. Or you raise your profile, like we keep doing. It's why we got in a magazine that's coming out next week. And online, we get a backlink. The higher your profile, the more people will write about you or ask for your opinions, and you'll get more backlinks. And that's a really good way of doing it as well. One of the other things that we've just done is there's something called Harrow, Help a Reporter Out. So you can sign up for that. And this is where reporters need advice or help or content for their stories. So they might, let's say you're a lawyer and they want to talk about lawyers in the UK and how Brexit has affected them, let's just say. If you go and help a reporter out and someone's looking for that and you put in the word lawyer because you're a lawyer, then you will get emails to say this person wants this person wants that, this person wants that. And you can actually go, hey, I can give you content. I can write you content. Now they will publish it and usually you'll get a backlink. And again, that's a really good way. Time consuming as all SEO is, but it's an absolute necessity. Now, just one thing I want to finish up on. Paid ads or organic marketing. So paid ads on something like Google Pay-Per-Click. So if you're a lawyer in Leeds and someone's looking for divorce lawyers Leeds, okay, you can get to the number one this afternoon. It's quite easy to do, but you have to pay to do it. It's going to cost you £5 a click, I should think. If you're a divorce lawyer in Leeds, you can run an SEO campaign, but you have to run it over a consistent basis. The more content that you add, the more links that you add, and eventually you get onto page one, and then you start going up those search engine rankings. And there's also a good chance that you're going to stay on page one for quite some time. So SEO for us, it's not a quick fix, but it is something that should happen in the background over a period of time. But if you want to get onto, you know, Google, page one today, you're going to have to pay to play. It's just the way that it is. So is there still a place for SEO in this marketplace? Absolutely. We've made a significant amount of money through selling various products because we've ranked at the top of Google. We've done it for the last 20 years, however long I've been running businesses. And it will happen for another 20 years. It might change. It might be, I can't say the word because Alexa is sat right there and it'll probably play music. But, you know, it'll be Alexa. Can you find me a website design company? And it will just give you, oh, here's a number. Do you want me to call them? Yes, call them. And then you're on the phone and speaking to the web design company. That's literally how things will change over the next 10 to 20 years. But right now, there's definitely a space for you to get onto Google, get your rankings up. But it's going to take you a little bit of time. But it's definitely an investment that's worthwhile. So I hope that's useful for you. A nice little quick talk about SEO there. My name's Dan Latto. I don't even know my own name these days. My name's Dan Latto. I will speak to you tomorrow. Have a good one. Take care. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.